The respect of the Lord's power from verse 12 in the chapter that we read, the second of Luke's Gospel, verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You may think that I chose this text, but I didn't. Not until this morning in family reading that it struck me most tenderly. An entirely different thought from my mind when I went to bed last night. Here is a beauty, glory, the gospel, which is beyond all description. It is related to what we were speaking of last Sabbath, secret things belong unto God. This is one of them. And Christ who come is in the third of Genesis and the 16th verse. But how he should come and under what circumstances and in what form never related in such detail as this. That a root should spring out of the stem of Jesse, as prophesied. That there should be one who should arise and be called the Lord our righteousness, also prophesied. That this was hidden in the sacred purposes of God. If we are favored with a sober thought and a sober, gracious mind for a moment to think of this as a covenant transaction and prearrangement and predetermined way, shall we not be sobered in our judgment, thought, in the most unusual, remarkable way and place, how that we talk about a sign they did in the time of Jesus. What sign showest thou art? A proof, that is, what evidence you give us, they ask the Lord himself. And there are many references to signs in the scripture, proofs, those things which will fit the matter. Gideon asked for several signs and got them all. Peculiar signs. More than peculiar, extraordinary with regard to the fleece. Others ask for an evidence. You may be asking for an evidence. And shall I tell you where that evidence is going to come from? It's going to come from the main. That is, in the lowest state to which you are found. And the Lord Jesus laid aside his glory and made himself of no reputation. And truly this proved beyond all shadow of question that to lie down And yet how common it is, and can be, and what, as you have just sung, proud nature views it with scorn. Very interesting story, much to be made of it, turned into idolatry by millions. For the child of God, there is something here of a very humble, tender, gentle nature. It is viewed by nature with very, very different eyes. To those who are seeking a sign, an evidence, proof, a testimony, the Lord's dealings with them in great grace, they will be brought to such a place as this to get the very proof that they want. They're looking higher than they should. You may be. May be asking more at the hand of your God than He intends to give you. They ask Him a sign of old, and He said, no sign shall be given but that of the prophet Jonah. So that here, unasked, the angels give a sign. And this sign was really necessary. It was not just a sign, it was really necessary for, of all places, that they would go and look for this child would be, the last would be the stable or the manger in which this babe Christ Jesus lay. What a lesson. Study it out in your own experience. You have one. I'm really puzzled by the things that bring you into so much concern in your thought. Are you and I looking in the right place? Do we picture to ourselves like Naaman pictured to himself? I surely thought the Lord would come out, or the prophet would come out and put his hand over the place. Because this is what we, most of us do. It isn't some extraordinary thing. Those that wait upon the Lord for an evidence of His mercy and favour, in several respects, in the Christian church and pathway, look in the wrong place. Look where God has nothing for them. That's in themselves. And that's where they search in vain. It is out of self to Jesus lead. So that the manger and the sign go together. And the direction was utterly simple. And what a good thing it was given. This did not send them off on some fruitless mission, hunting here and looking there for this newborn child. And neither did they know what means to identify a child without being told. And until God bless you with his own sign in your heart, in his own way, grant you the humbling revelation of the Lord Jesus already within your heart, the hope of glory, you are not saved, but all along, have been that which you have noticed, and which, because of it being so unusual and strange, you missed. That is the great work of God in going back to last Sabbath text. Things that are revealed belong unto us. And this belongs unto us now, doesn't it? And we may use it, the good Spirit's aid, to see the absolute sacredness of this scene, and yet the fulfillment of the purpose of God. Whether it was last Sabbath or the Sabbath before, I'm not sure, but I spoke of the circling hand of God over all events in this world. Everything beneath his control. Look at his circling hand here. Why, here's the great Caesar Augustus, Emperor of Rome. Like Cyrus in the days of old, before the final captivity, sending out a decree that all nations should be taxed. He was going to swell his coffers, gathering fresh toll and money. To do this, they had to go to the place where they were poor. Here he is. Doesn't know it. No one else knows it. He issues his decree. And this dear woman, Mary, in this condition, obeys. If ever a woman had good reason to say that she could not undertake a journey like that of 4 days from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a 4-day journey, and not by train or car either. Oh. And this journey is undertaken. The hand of God encircling the whole matter influences the mind of the mighty Emperor of Rome. He passes these commands on to Herod, his underling in Judea. He dare not, of course, disobey. You get a glimpse, these few thoughts, of the everyday possibilities of what's going on in the earth today. The way we see things, and as they look to us, must necessarily be imperfect. hidden away in the eternal purposes of God in this wicked generation is that which God determines to do and is doing it. As he was then, so he is now. Now that neither Joseph nor Mary offer any resistance to the distant decree from Rome, they go on this journey. This sign is being prepared. God is getting it ready, like he does so many of his dear people. He gets the sign ready for them, and them ready to receive it. So that when the two come together, there is no doubt whatever as to the significance of it in their life. This was her firstborn son. A most joyful occasion indeed, but under what circumstances? And the circumstances is, of course, you old ones know, far, far deeper than can be expressed publicly. Here she is found in this place at the angels, or the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. These humble shepherds. Of course, they were sore afraid. But this is God's next step upon earth. This heavenly messenger comes with such tidings as these, preceded by this in verse 10, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. This is the sign of getting ready. Here is the heavenly messenger descending, not to Herod, much less to Caesar Augustus. Not staying the hand of that great man in Rome, and not altering the decree or thwarting it, but letting it take its course, like God does the course of sinful man, let him take its course. Oh, if God has stopped you in your course, your mad career, and talk to your heart to fear his name, be sure there's something at the end of it. But there was no alteration whatsoever in the natural circumstances. So many things that one can think of that must not say. Mind is quite capable, prayerfully, to consider these circumstances related in, what did I read, some 20 verses, that's all. And yet, the angel gives this direction to the shepherds and tells them that the evidence, the sign, shall be that they shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now we must go back to the name, the person they've got to look for, For unto you is born this day in the city of David Childhood Bethlehem, little Bethlehem, prophesied by the prophet. Though thou art little among the tribes, yet out of thee shall come a Saviour who shall rule his people Israel, Bethlehem. Thou Bethlehem, Judah, there were two. This Bethlehem is identified with accuracy. And thou art little, yet out of thee shall come a Saviour. Here he is. Here in this humble, we cannot say out of the way place, the Almighty God sends down his beloved Son to take human flesh and to breathe human, or rather the atmosphere of this earth, to live before. And what is his name? Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. City of David, Christ the Lord. Now let's go back here to that beautiful scene in the Old Testament when David went in and sat before the Lord when the Lord promised him this. He was so overcome by the Lord's remarkable words to him that he went in, we're told, and sat before the Lord and said, "Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? There's glory in every part of these ancient accounts." Here is the reception of it. But David himself, David's son, yes, David, Lord. So that the city is identified with the town. That the person, Christ, the anointed, long looked for one, anointed by whom and for what purpose? The anointed of the Lord by the Holy Spirit. What Isaiah says of him. How this anointing is for a particular purpose. Nothing to do with the ancient temple. There were thousands of anointings. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. For he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, proclaim liberty to the captive, and so on. This is the anointing. Christ. It means anointing. Christ, the anointed of God. I, these shepherds, were men of gracious experience. We know nothing of them. They have to be in every one of these mockeries that we see about. And the children are taught to make dummies of, must have the shepherd. But oh, what glory in the persons to whom the heavenly angel first came. Watching their flocks by night. And there's no question as to whether they were right or wrong, or got the message correctly or incorrectly. Far from it. For unto you is born. I could make no mistake about this. God gave, or as the 11th of Isaiah says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Born means what it says. So that this was quite clear. And that being born, he would be alive, and that he would be found in the city of Bethlehem, outside of which the shepherds were minding their sheep. Now they are set this problem, and you see, they say to one another, yes, let us go. After the angels had appeared, they came with haste. Had a second divine confirmation, second seal. They tarried not any longer over their sheep. These now became a secondary charge and consideration. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now, here is a sign. The maiden, the lowly maiden. And this is where the sweetness is, I believe. I'm sure it is. The Lord will bring us all down to the lowly maiden. Whatever man may make of it, it is in this lowest state, as the psalm says, who remembered us in our lowest state. Now if we view this naturally and don't obey Joseph Hart's instructions for a bow down sense of reason, if we lack sense and reason during the day, then we shall shortly stumble. If we lack sense and reason during the day in spiritual things, which we often do, we shall shortly make a mistake. You think you're not coming down low because you are. You are. You may not have come low enough yet. The Lord's dealings with you and your spiritual appetite, exercises of concern, are excellent so far as they come from God. But do you know that you're going down and not up? You know that you've got to descend before you can ascend in your own heart. And by that I mean before God as a guilty sinner. You hoping to get better or to remain stationary? Well then, you're looking in the wrong place. This is according to the law and the gospel. the law kills, the spirit giveth life. Oh, if you should be cherishing some foothold in the law, secretly holding something your own, would it be a happy Christmas day or service if God completely cut away that foothold underneath and showed you the length, showed you the absolute low degree to which he brings his people ere he blesses them? Christ in the manger. Wouldn't it be a day of reality to you, God's divine favor to you? Do you covet it? Look for it, pray for it, that you might come down as low as your Savior came, for your sake. Because truly, this is what Paul meant when he said he made himself of no reputation. Why, this is the very secret of the work of the Holy Spirit in pulling down and then building up. But it's a sign from heaven, a gospel sign. The Lord will make you poor and needy. He dwells amongst us. To this man will I look, who's poor. How are you poor? You're really poor. I don't mean financially, of course. Are you really poor in spirit? Well, if you are, and in that first hymn that we sang, cold, lifeless, poor Lord, that's just where I was this morning. Before these words came, I said, Lord, I'm as hard as I can possibly be. I feel as unlike the season as I can be. And then those solemn words, cold, lifeless, poor Lord. This is an extremity which is God's opportunity, that is, and it is here, although the poet of course was wrong in saying that Christ was born in winter. You'll see a question mark in the hymn if you've noticed. Be that as it may, the point issue is this. Being brought down low. Oh, if you could but get this, God but give you this as a sign, as a poor, empty, bankrupt, guilty sin, it would be a happy Christmas day to you. If you could really lay hold on this by precious faith and believe it, as such, and you would lay hold upon God's dealings, not only with his people, but with his dear son, as he brought him down to such a low place. And this will be a sign unto you. So look round to see the circumstances that have brought you to this place. As they brought Mary, oh, there was no room for them in the crowded in like sinners' hearts, says the hymn writer, oh, ignorance extreme. For guests of various sorts had room, but none for him. How real such religion as this is, isn't it? And it takes hold of you, you see. Your only comfort will be from the revealed Word of God. Things which are revealed belong unto us, and how blessedly they do. And you'll never make a mistake here. You'll be well grounded and founded upon such a rock as this, that Christ, your Redeemer, an infant was born. Now, God said this, heavenly sign, we talk about a word from the Lord, come quickly, come with reality. Some say, I want a word from the Lord. I want the Lord to speak to me. Do you? On what authority? On what ground are you asking for such? Do you say, well, the Old Testament saints did? Yes, you're not an Old Testament saint. I never liked it a bit. Any of the New Testament saints ask for these evidences? When the old law was finished and the gospel began her fair course, sinners were called by divine grace and given a new nature. Was not that complete evidence? Have you been given a new nature? Can you say, no, I haven't? Or have you been brought to ask for things now that at one time you never think of asking for at all? How often do we ask for the very thing we've got? What strange medley we are within those ifs and buts and maybe. A sign from the Lord was given to these shepherds then of some unaccountable seed of a newborn child wrapped in swaddling clothes which was the custom of me in those days. Nonetheless, it wasn't any sign that there wasn't anything better, because I don't think there was. But this is the sign. And a humble picture of this. And when you see this, said the angel to them, this is it. This is it. And when you come down to this in your soul's experience, as a mere nothing in yourself, see that what you are by the grace of God, nothing else. It's then only then that you will see the preciousness of such a text as this. We shall find the day, we shall find it, and find him they did, wrapped in the swaddling clothes, lying in a basin. Now, no other details are given us of this sacred scene. of any detail or thing for that individual. There was the safe deliverance of the Lord Jesus into this earth through nature's after. There is the safe quickening of a believer by divine grace, which was born, as Paul, not of the will of the man, as John, not of the will of man, or the will of flesh, but the flesh of God. Now this new birth is the believer's only fruit and sign. Any man being Christ Jesus is a new creature. All things have passed away, all things have become new. Is that so, then? Let a little self-examination be your portion and experience this morning. Tell me whether or not, under such as this, your heart is not soft. Who hold such a faithful religion as this, God-given discovery of Christ in the maid, in all his humility, his weakness. The strength of God is owned by all, says Joseph Hart, but who is weakness? And it's a common saying, isn't it? As helpless as a babe. But aren't they? And can it be that the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of David, Christ the Anointed, the Son of God, the Saviour of sinners, came down to such a place as this, or is it merely hypothetical? Is it some mysticism? That'll make you tremble, won't it? The thought of that. It is the reality of this in which your hope is fixed, isn't it? But these things are really so. But I'm not stretching these things beyond their point, their meaning. Here they are before us as the abundant evidence of the good grace of God, bringing us worthless sinners to see the foundation of our hope, Christ, for. In your heart, the hope of glory. And so, said the angel to the shepherd, and this will be a sign unto you. This is the sign, and sign it was. And this I already gave, the sign and proof in your heart. They don't recognize it as such. If it should be the case, how merciful for the Lord to make it like he made Gideon's sign. Both sides of it. Both sides. The fleece wet and the fleece dry. Amen.